Call to order the House Committee on Judiciary Civil Law. And committee, this looks like sort of the calm, not before, but maybe in the middle of the storm. We have a short agenda today that's even shorter than it appears. House Bill 3504, we missed scheduling or were not able to get the witness that we needed to that for that, so that bill will be rescheduled. House Bill 2731 has amendments that are not yet ready, so we will just do a work session today on H.J.R. 52. But beware, tomorrow's agenda picks up, and Thursday we will have 1 o'clock and a 6:30 meeting, and then Friday we'll go until we get done. So,
Mr. Chairman,
yes.
I'm sure you said this at some time, and I was busy. What's the 6:30 meeting about on Thursday?
6:30 meeting right now is scheduled to take up the judicial review bill. That's one that's going to garner a lot of testimony. I'm meeting with the Attorney General this afternoon to confirm that they want to pursue that. They've had trouble putting the work group together. If they don't, though, my intention would still be to meet on Thursday just to take the pressure off of our Thursday afternoon and Friday agendas.
That sounds wonderful.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Counsel.
Is it the intent of the chair to continue the meeting past the 3 o'clock time tomorrow?
If we need to. Okay. Yeah, if we need to.
So, can I put something on the record here?
Yes.
Mr. Chair, I just want it known that I am not bailing out on a softball game because I'm afraid of the challenge over in the Senate. The softball game is being preempted by my requirement to be here and do my legislative duty.
And we appreciate your devotion.
Tomorrow night. Thursday night, the Senate in the House.
Okay, with all those important items of housekeeping business out of our way, let me open a work session on H.J.R. 52. Counsel.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, as you will remember, public testimony was taken on House Joint Resolution 52, which would propose a constitutional amendment to the state constitution of Oregon to allow municipalities political subdivisions to zone adult businesses which engage in sexually oriented business. There is a -2 amendment before the committee, which would describe, or rather clarify, the new dancing element of the sexually oriented business aspect of the bill. Mr. Chairman?
Thank you very much. Yeah, let's see if he's available. Oh, there he is.
Thank you.
-2, you should have him from last meeting.
Okay.
Representative Patridge, is there anything you want to say to us? We're in work session, but I would be happy to...
I'd just like to pass on to the committee that the League of Oregon Cities would come on board.
Okay. League of Oregon Cities, and I think we've got something on the desk here from Mayor Katz from Portland. There had been some discussion, Bill Linden, there had been some discussion about grandfathering retroactivity amendments. Do you want to talk about that? I know we have a letter from the City of Portland that says that's not necessary given the grandfathering and the the non-conforming use protections that are in existence in zoning laws.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Bill Linden, representing the Oregon Coalition for Free Expression and the Oregon Entertainment Corporation. We have been in discussions, active discussions, with Representative Patridge and others about some method of protecting existing businesses in this general context we're talking about. The -1 amendments that we had drafted would have provided that businesses and existing businesses who were there as of July 1, 1999 would not be affected under this initiative. In some discussions I had yesterday with the City of Portland City Attorney's Office, they indicated they couldn't support that. And you may have the letter from them.
I got it this morning.
The issue for us is these businesses are being singled out by virtue of this initiative. And in exchange for being singled out in that manner, we don't think it's unreasonable for them to be given some sort of additional protection and assurance that if they are in existence today, they're not going to be targeted to be zoned out of existence in the near future if this measure were to pass. I just had a subsequent discussion with Representative Patridge about language different from the dash ones, but still accomplishing some sort of a grandfathering impact. And he indicated a continued willingness to work with us on that particular matter.
Work with you. Come on up, Bob. Yeah. Work with you. We're running out of time. Work with you in the Senate. Is that what we mean?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I shared with the chair of the committee and didn't unfortunately make copies for the rest of the committee a memo from the city of Portland in regards to the zoning issue and the I think they're are they dash one or dash
dash one was the grandfather.
The dash one. Grandfather piece. The problem currently all businesses would be under the same kinds of zoning restrictions. The reason that we have to have this constitutional amendment that we're asking for is because the Oregon courts have determined that you can't zone these types of businesses based on content. So while it is aimed at sexually oriented businesses as defined by the House Joint Resolution 52, if that resolution passes, the zoning would fall under the same zoning regulations and same constitutional protections that any other business would have. The issue in regards to the amendment that has been placed in front of you in terms of the dash one amendment is that the way it's written, it is so broad that, for example, in a zoning, in a situation, it would allow that those businesses that were there previous to this amendment passing, if they, for example, decided to build out an extra 5,000 square feet, and that didn't fit within the city's zoning regulations, that they would be exempted from those zoning regulations, even though other businesses would have to conform. There are adequate protections in the law and adequate constitutional protections in regards to the taking of these kinds of businesses, so cities can't come in to existing businesses, sexually oriented businesses that would fall under this House Joint Resolution, and zone them out without raising constitutional issues that I believe provide more than adequate protection and are a level playing field for everyone in zoning. This just, HJR 52 doesn't take away any rights that sexually oriented businesses nor other businesses currently have, except that it provides for where they can be zoned when the business initiates itself. Currently, you would have a non-conforming use if you were to, for example, build an additional 5,000 square feet on your business and the zoning wasn't allowed, you would be a non-conforming use. If your business then moved to a different location, then the zoning provisions of HJR 52 would kick in. I don't know if I've clarified it anymore.
Well, I'm having copies of the letter. Is that from who's that from? Was it, what?
Who? What's
Jeff,
Madeline Wessel DeMarsh.
Yeah, having copies of that made for the committee members. Representative Williams, do you have a question?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I was just going to try to clarify what I think Representative Patrick already said about it simply being treated as a non-conforming use as any other business or entity would if a zoning ordinance was passed. Simply, it would just be either a change of use by the business or an abandonment, which would essentially result in the inability to do it. So it shouldn't, under current law, really have any impact about current existing operations anyway, as I understand it.
What was the question for Mr. Linden? Not having seen the dash one, if that were included or some sort of grandfathering were let in, does that mean your client will then support the bill?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Edwards, if there were an amendment that clearly protected existing businesses in the sense of, you know, what we have here really is we've got all businesses in the state are in areas that are commercially zoned, assume that. And what you've done is you've taken a particular business with a particular type of business activity and you're providing through a referral special constitutional provisions as to how they can be zoned. So naturally that particular little slice of business would like to be assured that they are not going to have to in any context, fight battles over their current location. So if we could come up with something that had, you know, the right words that satisfied us as well as everybody involved in this issue, that they had that particular guarantee, not some just go look to current law kind of guarantee, but a particular guarantee in the initiative, in the language itself, I think that that would make us much more comfortable. Because these businesses are being singled out for special treatment in this.
Let me ask that question again. Would your client oppose the bill with that amendment? Whatever language we could come up with, could you state for the record whether or not your client would oppose the bill?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Edwards.
With that language in?
If we had the Dash 1 amendments, our client would not oppose this bill.
Senator Williams.
Mr. Linden, it forces me then to ask kind of the follow-up question. Once the bill gets through the process, does it also mean that your client wouldn't oppose the measure once the measure was on the ballot? I mean, that's perhaps the bigger issue here, is whether or not there's going to be money put towards the campaign against this particular measure. And you may not have the authority to speak for your client on that issue today, and I'll give you that out. But that's really the follow-up question, I think, that Representative Edwards probably needed to ask.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Williams, I do need to clarify. I'm wearing two client hats today. The Oregon Coalition for Free Expression would not necessarily drop opposition to H.R. 52 if we had the Dash 1 amendments. Oregon Entertainment Corporation would not oppose the referral if it included the Dash 1s. In terms of a campaign down the road, I can't tell you today what OCFI's position would be. I believe that if the Dash 1 amendments were adopted, that Oregon Entertainment Corporation, as a client, would not oppose that ballot measure.
Representative Whitman and Representative Orval, sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Why is existing law not sufficient in terms of protecting your client's interests?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Whit, because we believe there's a danger that there will be special efforts made to use this initiative, if successful, to target these businesses for relocation. And we'll be very happy if that doesn't happen, but we think that there is a possibility it could happen. Right now, cities adopt their own zoning code. Those codes can be changed. It would just provide an additional assurance that that this is not going to result in severe disruption of existing businesses.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think part of the purpose of the bill specifically is to provide local government with some zoning authority to make sure that these types of businesses don't appear in areas and cities that are inappropriate for them, such as around schools and in neighborhoods. I mean, given that fact, I don't understand why existing law wouldn't be sufficient. Obviously, the purpose of this is to deal with the problem that exists now, not just to prevent future problems. So if the existing laws provide constitutional and legal protection, and the purpose of this bill is specifically to try to give local government some control over this process, particularly to make sure these businesses are located in appropriate areas, what would be the purpose, in your opinion, of this committee supporting the Dash 1 amendments if it takes away that authority from local government?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Witt, certainly if this initiative were passed, it would allow cities to regulate the zoning of these types of businesses in the future. We don't believe that this referral ought to result in those cities regulating these businesses that are currently in existence. The Dash 1 amendments would make it clear that the referral is not intended to do that.
Representative Werbelow.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have several questions. The first one would be, I have a problem with the Dash 2s in that you are inserting the words noon entertainment. I suppose I would think entertainment is like beauty. It's in the eyes of the beholder, and it could be that somebody could just stand there nude and would be entertaining to somebody and to somebody else. If it was, for example, a healthcare worker, they'd say, well, that's another body. I've seen thousands of them. So So what do you mean by entertainment?
What do we mean by entertainment?
What do they have to be doing to fall under nude entertainment?
I think when you, Mr. Chair, Representative Verbalow, I think that in terms of when you're talking about nude entertainment, it's those types of activities that are the intent of which is to draw a crowd to that particular location and have that kind of business pursuing there. We tried to craft the problem in crafting any type of legislation, especially this way when you're dealing with First Amendment issues, is that we've tried to embody over 20 years worth of case law into several sentences. And I think that I would steer you as well to the federal case law, but generally I think that that is the belief, and that was the intent of the draft of this drafter and the others who I've worked with.
So this would not include an art studio that had nude models for people to draw or to paint or whatever?
I don't believe that would be defined as entertainment.
The eyes of the beholder. Okay.
I think Representative Patrick is right.
I haven't. Well, of course, because you like this bill.
No.
Actually, I'm kind of informed for it. But
I have another question. Is you know, I think it's my thought that many people are not aware of what constitutions are supposed to be all about. And if you can do something without cluttering up the Constitution, I it's my personal belief and other people's belief that you should do that. And as Dave Schumann has been quoted, that you can't, and other people, it's just not Dave, you can prevent the bad effects of adult businesses. It's a little more difficult. It's not as straightforward. You have to show that there's actual harm. And I would like to put on the record that at least the testimony that we had from a witness from Medford has been called into question in a local newspaper story, who actually pursued, went to the police, and had there been many complaints, went to neighbors and other businesses and so forth, because that testimony was like there was horrendous things occurring since the Castle Books has moved into the neighborhood. I think it seems to me what we're really regulating here is our own moral stance, not the effects from that, and that concerns me. And so why did you not think about, or the local governments think about, approaching this from the end of, and there's probably already on the books, things that if there are bad effects from them being in the neighborhood, that you attack them through the harmful effects, not through a constitutional amendment?
Well, Representative Verbalow and Mr. Representative Verbalow, the studies that I gave you copies of and made available in my office, because they were very weighty, I think demonstrate that there are harmful effects. A lot of cities, including Portland and the city of Medford, have passed ordinances, but it would be like, how do you deter any kind of crime, or you don't want it to happen in the first place, and that's what we're trying to do, is limit the amount of it happening in sensitive areas around schools, parks, and other sensitive areas within the city. I think that there's research out there that shows that. I think that the courts have upheld a lot of that research on the federal level, at the appellate level, and in 48 states except for the states of Oregon and Hawaii, that there are some effects and that there is a legitimate government interest in terms of zoning these types of businesses. And, while Oregon is unique in many ways, that's like letting the horse out of the barn and waiting for the secondary effects, trying to chase the horse down after they're already out of the barn. And this would allow some zoning in sensitive areas. And that's what I believe the people that I represent have asked for.
Well, I'd just like to put on the record that whatever research or information you had given us, it did not indicate to me that 48 states have had bad results. It just indicated to me that other states' constitution does not prohibit what Oregon's constitution prohibits, and so they do zone. That's it.
Well, Mr. Chair, Representative Verbalow, I think that the rationale that the courts have used is that there is a recognition that there are some harmful effects, and that's what the courts have used in the various cases that I've reviewed around the country in regards to this, and there is a recognition that in order to abridge maybe someone's First Amendment rights or the Article 1, Section 8 rights that we have in the Oregon Constitution, which many other states have similar provisions in their Constitution, there's got to be a legitimate state interest in terms of regulating that, and I think that that's what those courts have held. So I guess I would disagree.
Yeah. One final comment sure. I would make. It was argued that blacks would bring harmful effect, and so we had exclusionary zoning for blacks. So I think we have to stop and think about really what we're doing, where we're going, and if we can't get there some other way.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess I'd just like to comment briefly on Representative Rubel's comments. And I'm referencing an In My Opinion piece written by Roger J. Myers. Perhaps the committee would remember seeing this piece. This is the gentleman who lives in Nissa. It was published in the Oregonian. He can't obviously be here to testify, but I think the comments that he makes, at least I haven't seen refuted. I'll quote, since the opening of the establishment he's referring here to, the patrons of the establishment have accounted for more than 110 violations of city ordinance. A review of police logs indicated these violations range from public urination, public drunkenness, the club serves no alcohol, open alcohol containers in vehicles, harassment, criminal mischief, and assault. The same review by some residents who had been picketing Ms. Sally's gentlemen's clubs indicated that in November and December, the club accounted for 14% and 10% respectively of all complaint citations issued by the small police force in Nissa. I believe, Mr. Chairman, that the evidence, at least that I heard and that was testified to by both people from Medford and other locations throughout the state, clearly identify that there are some harmful effects here, and I think the evidence primarily presented by those people who are discussing the legal challenges, and I will reference the City of Portland and their attorneys, as just one of those people who put on the evidence, put on, I think, a very excellent case for the fact that it is virtually impossible to accomplish what we're trying to accomplish through zoning without some constitutional reform. In fact, I believe that's a question I asked and they responded to.
Well, which is certainly why we're not getting at this with just a statutory fix or something to that effect. We can't. Let me ask, I want to go back to maybe the narrower issue. I think it's safe to say from the conversations I've heard both in committee and out of committee that the votes are on the committee to get a resolution out. I'm not anxious to pick any fights, though, and I think Mr. Linden indicated that you had been talking about some language, perhaps short of the dash ones, but that might accommodate the grandfather clause issue to give them some level of comfort as to what their rights are as part of this resolution. Representative Patridge, if you had another couple of days. Is there the will, I guess, first of all, and is there the means to do that?
Mr. Chair, the way I left it with Mr. Linden is, and my approach to this is that this bill has been pending in this legislature for a lengthy period of time. Everyone has been well aware of the content of it and what the intent of this legislation was to do. The language has been available. I, at this point, would ask this committee to pass it out. I've told Mr. Linden that I would be happy to work with him in terms of trying to look at any additional language, but at this point, I don't see the benefit of holding it in this committee any longer. I think that it needs to move forward. I believe that there is adequate due process, rights protections for existing businesses, as well as takings provisions that have been litigated and are federal constitutional protections in regards to this legislation in these areas. That's what my feeling is. At this point, I would be happy to look at further amendments with them as we move through the process. But if we delay this much longer, my feeling is that it won't get an opportunity to go before the voters. I think that there is adequate protection. And frankly, the Dash 1 amendments, as it's written now, even listing in existence on July 1, 1999, that would create even more problems because it would have to be when the constitutional amendment was passed and deemed effective, so you couldn't come back and zone any of those businesses between July 1, 1999 and November when if this initiative or this referral would pass.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, if I could respond to the same question. We were not aware until yesterday afternoon that the Dash One amendments were not being favorably received. If we couldn't in the next 24 hours come up with an alternative to those, we're never going to be able to, and I would ask that we have the committee's indulgence in doing that. Is this scheduled again for? Well, it's the pleasure of the committee. We've got two choices, and honestly, this resolution is going to get out. It's going to get out today, or it's going to get out Thursday. We could schedule it back for Thursday to see if Mr. Linden can come up with a revised form of the Dash One amendments to try and accommodate his concerns, but I'm not inclined to schedule it beyond Thursday if we don't do it today. We do need to
prefer to wait until Thursday to give them a shot at trying to make this as much of a win-win as possible. And, you know, there's some things that need to be reconciled with Article 1, Section 8 and the grandfather thing. So I think that it's worthwhile for us to do just a little extra work to make this bill, this measure as right as we can.
I will say I'm not desperate to do it. I think that the language here from the memorandum from Madeline Wessel is accurate, and I'd be willing to make that even a part of our legislative history as to what our intent is as to the grandfather effect of this thing. By the same token, we're talking the difference of 48 hours here, and if there's some possible accommodation, I guess in my inclination is to try to preserve the opportunity for that. Anybody else want to speak to that?
I would second Representative Lowe. I know you have the votes to get this out, but I don't think 48 hours is going to make or break this bill, and I prefer to give people involvement in the process as possible, and I'd be willing to wait.
Pardon? And again, also got to affect this bill. If we give them a date certain and a time certain, they'll have to have a draft for us. Representative Williams?
Mr. Chairman, I was simply pointing that Mr. Fedenke has his finger up.
Oh, I thought he'd heard it.
Mr. Chair, I just wanted to add, in terms of taking a little bit more time with this, that as far as I know, no one has seen the letter from the City of Portland that you have in your possession in terms of what their analysis is. But as I read this joint resolution in its current form with the Dash 2 amendments, it would not have the same rules that apply to other businesses with regard to nonconforming use, because other businesses are protected by provisions in the Oregon Constitution. These businesses would not be, because the first line of the resolution says, to the extent permitted by the United States Constitution. So I believe the effect of this resolution is to tie the regulation of these businesses to the federal Constitution, notwithstanding any protections that might exist in the Oregon Constitution, because it's not limited to just Article 1, Section 8.
Well, but certainly the proprietors of an existing business would still have their property rights in the business.
Not the property rights under the Oregon Constitution.
But under the federal Constitution.
Yes, but there are...
The takings issue.
But there are specific provisions in the Oregon Constitution that prevent the legislature from passing laws that impair contracts that do not have equivalent provisions necessarily and do not necessarily have the same interpretations as the federal Constitution. The Oregon courts generally look to the Oregon Constitution first before reaching any federal issues. So to the extent there is existing Oregon case law regarding takings and nonconforming uses, they would not apply, as I read this resolution, in its current form.
Well, I tell you, let's do this committee. If we were, as I hear that, of course, that raises issues that I'm not sure can be solved in 2 days' time to deal with the amendment, which may put us under a position just to rely on federal constitutional law as to the grandfathering retroactive effect of this. But
Can I ask a question?
Sure, yeah.
Mr. Linden, you're not seeking, with this grandfather amendment, any greater protection than currently would be allowed for businesses who are receiving or being impacted by a local community zoning ordinance change, are you?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Williams, we're seeking a recognition in the language of this referral that makes it absolutely clear that existing businesses on a certain date, and you know, we can talk about what that date should be, are not going to be affected by the referral if it passes. And if that results in greater protections, I'm not sure what they would be, but if that was one result, you know, it's not a result that we would argue with. It's not a result that we're intending, however.
Well, Mr. Lennon, let me use an example. Let's say you do have one of these, we were able to come to some sort of an accommodation on the language, and a business that perhaps one of your clients' businesses decided that they did want to expand. And that expansion required them to go to the county. And since then, the county had instituted an ordinance which prohibited this kind of business in the area. So now they're a non-conforming use and would be essentially denied the right to expand under the new zoning ordinance for that particular area. In other words, they could stay in business. They simply couldn't expand because they were now a non-conforming use. Are you looking for something that would allow them to expand? Because if you are, then I might as well vote today, because I don't think that you're going to convince me that they ought to be entitled to greater protection than any other business. If what you want is an affirmative statement in the rule that they won't be treated any differently than any other business subject to a zoning change, then I'm willing to sit down with you and see if we can fix the language to accommodate you, to get, an assurance from at least one of your clients that when this rolls out to the people, they wouldn't, in fact, wage a major campaign against it, because push comes to shove, that's what this is going to come down to, and if we can accommodate you on that, I'd like to try to do it. On the other hand, if you're looking for greater protection than any other business would be entitled to subject to a zoning change, I'm not sure you're going to get me to go there, and at that point I just probably want to vote the thing out today.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Williams, we're looking at the latter result, and we'd like to have a little more time to work with you and others on getting there. With finding the right words to provide some sort of a grandfathering of existing businesses under this referral.
Let's take a recess for 5 minutes. We'll reconvene at 2 o'clock.